This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Right back to it here. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Beautiful day out there. Talking about the Bills draft, and joining us on the Western Hotline is Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who had a busy weekend. A lot of hours logged. Brandon, we had two draft parties, so we're kind of tired too. You know, we were up late with you on the first round and the second round. It's a busy weekend for you.
Yeah. No, it was. It was. I was just listen to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very – how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just – hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers – but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about, but – bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
Okay. I mean, if you, I wish you'd listened to the 2 hours and 25 minutes before that, because there's plenty of things we do like about your draft, and I find it curious the energy you're coming at us with, but I mean, that's your choice.
I get it. I'm just like, let's be realistic. It's not fantasy football, like to trot out the best receivers. You got Josh Allen. First thing you got to do is protect him. You can't have everything. You can't have Pro Bowl wide receivers and have a Pro Bowl offensive line and an all-pro quarterback and 3 great running backs. Like, you gotta pick. Sure, I'd love to play fantasy football, but there's one football, Jeremy. There's one ball. You can't give it to but so many people. So that's where I'm like, I don't understand this narrative. I felt it a little bit from a couple of the reporters in the thing. Like, our job is to score points. It doesn't matter what receivers, what quarterback, what. If you score points at the level we scored, that is winning football.
No doubt about it. Something that we've said quite a bit, 30 points per game, a good offense last year, an incredible offensive line, a good run game. You did lose 2 receivers and add 1. I mean, many out there thought you might add another one. I was going to save the receiver conversation till after we talked defense, but if you want to go there first – I mean, it's fine. I think you've got some nice pieces there. Keon Coleman hopefully can take a step forward. And Curtis Samuel, we saw his season get kind of cut short or whatever, off to a bad start due to injuries. So you definitely have some pieces there. When it comes to that position, one of the things that the draft does, Brandon, I think you see all these teams add all these things. And I know, like, the board falls how the board falls. The reason I finished up with Sal the way that I did was I see lots of teams that are kind of flush at that position, still adding a few more pieces. And one place that I don't think you would even dispute is it's a place to save money. I mean, from a market efficiency, the wide receiver position gets expensive, and adding in the draft is a place to get some cheap options. So that's part of the reason that I kind of focused on it a little bit, is just because it seems like it's smart business to maybe add some there.
Well, it could be, for sure. You want to do that anywhere, just like corner is as well, which we did that, or defensive line, defensive tackle in particular. So, yeah, you can only get after you you know, as you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? But yeah, in the, listen, if there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guy stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class.
Sure.
I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
That's great. That's great. That, if that's the case, it seems a little odd to be upset at people that think that adding receiver made sense. You just kind of make the point there that if it had lined up on the board, you would have done it.
Yeah, best players. Like, that's what would – but, you, Jeremy, you can't go into a draft unless you got a major hole there. And I'm looking, again, at our receiving core. And you guys forget, you're not counting, like, Dalton Kincaid.
We are.
A receiving tight end. Like, you gotta include that in there. Just the way the Kansas City Chiefs count Travis Kelce or some of these other teams count their guys. Detroit counts Sam Laporta, like – George Kittle, and like you name them, those types of tight ends that are receiving threats, those guys count in your mix too. You can throw them the ball.
That's right. That's right. We do count them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about them a lot. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the hole there, Brandon, and that's why, like, I wasn't thinking about this for first round, but I'm wondering from your standpoint in the organization, how big a hole you feel Mac Hollins left. And what you believe in your internal group now you could do to replace that. Because that was a player that played a lot of snaps and a lot of blocking and special teams and the veteran presence. So that was, to me, the part of receiver for me was always figuring out how big a hole is that and how big do you feel like it could already be filled by the guys you already have.
Yeah, I mean, I would say last year at this time, you guys weren't bragging about Mac Hollins like as, man, look what the Bills got. I would say you guys were probably, and I wasn't listening to your show, but probably like counting him, like most people, as a special teams player that will play receiver, not a receiver that plays special teams. And I think Mac and our system, the way we do things, I got the questions last year. Hey, you moved on from Stephon Diggs. What are you doing? I totally understood that. And I just said, well, we'll have to see. Like, we have to show it. I guess where I don't understand is we just showed it. With the way we want to run our offense and the way we want to do things, that formula can work as well. There's not just one way to skin a cat here. And Josh Palmer, I think you guys are forgetting, Josh Palmer is a good player, and he's going to help us a lot. And he's a young player, and I believe he has helped us upgrade our receiving core this year. I don't know. Again, I haven't been listening to your show earlier, to your point, or other days, but let's don't forget adding Josh Palmer. We spent some money there. We obviously paid Khalil Shakir. Curtis Samuel, hopefully, to Jeremy's point, hopefully he doesn't start out nicked up the way he did. I thought he finished strong for us. Hopefully that's the guy we get. But if he's your fourth receiver, like that's pretty good. So I'm not sure at some point in the draft where you're adding that you're going, man, he's better than that.
Josh Palmer, another signing we did like. I mean, I feel like the solution is just, listen a little bit more. We're not the haters you might think we are. But Brandon, let's get to some of your defensive picks and the way the board did fall. We know Max Hairston was the first pick you made in the first round, and then defensive tackle and defensive end. So it sure looks like the mission going in. Again, you do a lot of the board falls and you do what you can, but you wanted a revamped front seven.
Yeah, we thought. Jeremy, when we stacked the board, and again, I'll say stacking the board, in February you really start honing in on where you feel the depths are. And you still got to get through the next couple months of getting to know these guys, their fit on and off the field, their intelligence, and then the medical. I mean, every year there's guys that we get a couple weeks out and we finally meet with the docs and they start pulling some guys off the board that medically don't fit. But, the board stayed deep, and I think that's the only reason a Deion Walker is still hanging around in the fourth round is because a lot of teams, were hitting D-line, and then they started pivoting elsewhere, and we're just like, man, this guy's still sticking out on our board. We got to go get him. And, so it's just – it really is how the board fell to do that, but we thought we would be able to at least add, two or three, and we got four.
that position, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, both you talked about in your press conferences being able to kind of play both spots at defensive tackle. Do you see that position more and more as guys aren't really, you know, one or the other, that maybe you would even say this about your whole roster or almost the entire thing, that all those guys can do both?
You'd like them to. You love the versatility piece. I mean, sometimes you do have a guy like you're not going to play this guy when you can help it on third down. But, you know, we joke internally here, the offense is allowed to pass on first. So it's actually one of the most strategic things to do is pass on first down if you've got the arsenal to do that. And so we want guys that are not just what we call a two-down slug in the middle, and that's what I think these guys give you. They got the versatility to stop the run, but also to get after the pass. And that's where I think it's almost like Deion is more like a 1-3, but he's got more rush than most ones, and TJ is probably more 3-1. He's more rush than anchor.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here on the Wester Hotline. One thing that looks like another theme throughout is you drafted a good number of players that you guys had in for visits. So maybe that speaks to the importance of you forming relationships with these players and identifying fits from a personality or a football standpoint, not just fits schematically, but the kind of people you want to bring in?
Yeah, definitely. Jeremy, I would say, you know, that's just another layer that helps you get to know them because, you know, you mostly know them just watching them on film. Some of these guys we do get to meet with at the Senior Bowl. I was unable to make the Senior Bowl this year. I watched the film, but I felt like I was a little bit behind. And then you meet these guys in Indy, but it's truly like speed dating there. It's 15 minutes a person. You get 45 options there. So when you get them here on these 30s, you can spend as much time with them as you want. And you know, I think at that point you really feel like you know them as well as you're going to know anybody. And so when it works out to the board, sometimes you lean to that way if it's close. Some years it works out more than others. This year, I think, to your point, it definitely worked out.
What about what you ended up adding a corner, Brandon? Thinking about, for me, when I was seeing those picks, I was thinking about the end of last year and maybe options that you would have liked to have at that position or Sean would have liked to have at that position. And now seeing the list of young guys and players that had been here before, was there any, you know, not hold back about drafting more of them on day three, but just giving yourself as many options at corner than maybe you would have had last year?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, being candid, that was probably the going into the draft, the spot felt like, man, we need to hit somebody here in the first 2 days. Like, we need to find someone. And you don't want to go in with needs and still want to let the board fall. And I do think if Harrison was not there, I was kind of tracking it. I do think we would have had an option on day two to get one. You always kind of look, all right, what would you have gone there if you could have? But, you know, once we got to day three, Dorian Strong was the best player on our board. It wasn't like we were like, hey, we got to get another one. And we just feel like he's a guy that, again, adds versatility. Outside player first. We think he does have a nickel skill set. Also a guy that, you know, the way he plays his game should translate to, you know, fourth down and special teams.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. On day three, has special teams become a bigger conversation, especially with the way that the league is changing?
Yeah, it definitely does. This kickoff rule, Jeremy, you got to have enough cover guys. And, you know, that gets into the receiver too. Like, what's the guy? Some of these guys are like, hey, we can add him, but we're healthy, we're not going to be able to get him a jersey because we got to have, again, we had Mac last year who played some special teams roles. But so we got to make sure, you know, whether it's a Jordan Hancock, a Dorian Strong, these guys that they do have some fourth down value, or they're going to find themselves inactive on game day.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. Before I let you go, Brandon, I just want to ask you the question I said I was going to ask you with Sal. I mean, I'm sorry if it bothers you, but I just want to know, like, would anyone thinking that you value receiver less than some other teams in the league, would that be incorrect? You do not think that is the case?
Yeah, that's not correct.
Okay.
What I value is good football players and good football teams and how they're built. And you just can't – again, it's not, the game is not fantasy football. I know the world is, everyone knows receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs. I want to be strong up front. I want to have a quarterback, and then I want to score points. I want to keep the other team from scoring points, and I want to score a bunch of points. If we can protect the ball the way we did last year, we had 8 turnovers, a plus 24 margin. We've led the league the last 2 seasons in fewest sacks, which helps Josh Allen. If we can do that and score another season with, you know, lead the league in points, I'll be thrilled at the end of the year.
We will be thrilled as well. I would say I don't think it's fantasy football. I'm just looking at the way the actual, you know, the league pays positions, running backs, tight ends, guards, tackles, receivers, linebackers. Like there appears to be a hierarchy of positional needs. You know, quarterback is at the top. So when I ask that question, I'm not asking from a fantasy football standpoint. I'm looking at franchise tags. I'm looking at draft capital. I'm looking at all that with regard to positional values. And forget receiver. I mean, would you have a positional hierarchy at least? Of course.
Yeah, but there's, again, there's one football, Jeremy, and that's where I would say you have to be careful, too. You can only feed so many guys. You can get frustration. It's a position where you see it across the league. And there are teams with, you know, people would argue are definitely better than our receiving core, but they don't score as many points, and they don't have the same success. Some of them don't protect well.
Yep.
Some of them don't run the ball well. We want to be multidimensional and how we do things. We want to protect. We want to run the ball. We want to be able to play in December and January. And that's the point I was making about fantasy football. And again, I'm all about, if we could have got a guy in the first round or second round or wherever that fit, we would have added him in a minute, but not at the point of reaching to a lower value when I got a higher valued player, especially a D lineman sitting up there.
Very good. Thanks for the time, Brandon.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Bills GM Brandon Bean here on the Wester Hotline with us. 803-0550, if you'd like to offer a thought on what just happened.
Uh-huh.
Hey. I think the kids would say...
I will admit up front, I did want Josh Rosen in 2018. I'm not going to lie.
I wanted Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. And
big woof.
I don't think it's an indictment on anybody to have not been sold on Josh Allen. And Josh Allen has proved a lot of people wrong. I was nervous about Josh Allen. I was still very happy they took a quarterback. And I'm not for that. I don't claim to know which quarterback's going to be the best. I actually don't do that. But as the kids would say, I think he chose violence today. So, hey, have a great day, man. Go for it. 803-0550. We're not playing fantasy football. We're smarter than that, and we're not here to be belittled either. So, cheers. We'll be back in a moment.